Welcome to the Helitech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair, celebrating 50 years.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
And good morning. Good Saturday. It's wet and raining here on the beautiful KMOX Mid-Missouri radio station. We have wonderful weather for you. Right now, it is getting soaked into the soil as we speak. Phone lines here are open for your topics related to your home. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. 2 hours today to talk about all things pertinent about your home, where you live, the buildings you're responsible for, how you achieve and maintain safety and health in your home, and the building systems that need repair or replacement, and some of which, for those of you mid-remodeling projects, the ones floating around in the Western Ocean, you know, the Pacific Ocean, as they bob around in container ships, still yet to be unloaded and hauled in trucks across the U.S. or trained to the St. Louis area. Well, may we live an interesting time. Surely we do right now. And much of what we are seeing in our world, our economy, pricing, and various things like that, it's just a big deal. And, you know, it is what it is. So we talk about that here, and I can help you through some of those questions, because that's kind of my day job, if you will. I own Mosby Building Arts, so we were founded in 1947 by my father, operated now by Mark McClanahan as our president. Lots of things happening, and I have a lot of people at Mosby that keep me sharp, current, and on the bubble, if you will, as we take questions right here on KMOX, just for you, about you, for you, and it's everything related to your home. Following up Mike Miller and the KMOX Garden Hotline has always been a pleasure for me, and I miss having the show right behind Mike, because my garden was never prettier when you have your own private consultant that you meet with every Saturday morning to ask questions, as you do as well. But I get the voice inflection, the smiles, and the character of Mike Miller as we go. Right now, it's Scott Mosby. 2 hours home improvement. I promise you my very best. And we can get together through this phone, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Lots of things happening around St. Louis. Some of the topics I want to take you through today is the ergonomics of kitchen design, whether you're right-handed, left-handed, where does the dishwasher go, what types of controls on kitchen appliances are there. Floors are always a important part, and many of the things related to kitchen design has to do with, is this your kitchen alone, a one-person kitchen? Is this a kitchen where you and your spouse, partner, roommate will cook together? Then it's a two-person kitchen, sometimes one and a half, and whether or not you might have a second vegetable sink or prep sink, as we call it. And then you get on to holidays and gathering, and just how many people, when you have a big holiday, are important enough to you, actually have the high status, like a sister, brother, mother, something like that, where you allow them into that food prep space that is uniquely and specifically yours. So again, where do they do? What do they do? Or the other side of the coin, how do you keep them out of the kitchen? How do you keep them out of your space in that kitchen? 314-436-7900, 436-7900, 800-925-1120. So now we can get together and find out how these things work right here on KMOX. Lots of things to talk about. My name is Scott Mosby. I've been part of this KMOX family for, I think 1996, whatever that is. So some 23 years, 24-ish years in there. And I enjoy being part of KMOX. My home, my yard, my investments have never done better because of the Voice of St. Louis and learning how that works. Today it's a rainy day. We've got a rainy week coming upon us, a little bit more tomorrow. So we can talk about that and more. In light of that and all the rain, wetness, and such, I've invited a Helitech expert to come online with us today. So we'll have Brian Cox phoning in here a little bit later to talk about things around foundations, water, how you can inspect your own home. At what point do you call an expert? At what point do you get outside, clear out your own downspouts, things like that? 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. And I promise, truly, my very best questions and answers. Some of these things, I've been on both sides of your questions. I have been the contractor that actually built that thing that might now we know to be wrong. And now, through that experience and my last 20 years, a deep investment in what I call building science, or finding out how we handle moisture, walls, green recycling, the whole life cycle of products, and how that either advances the world or doesn't, and your world being specific to that. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. How about those Cardinals, huh? Go Cards, baby. We have it coming up. They are in the wild card. Lots of things to talk about. Go Cards, what can I say? I'm going to put on some of my most garish Cardinal clothing and, you know, sport my colors. It is what it is. You know, born and raised in St. Louis, I am what I am. Cardinal Nation. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120 puts us together today. My deep appreciation for Rich Orris, who stepped in as I did some traveling, took a little time off, got out and about, actually played a little hooky down in Lake of the Ozarks for a bit, just on the front end of watching the trees turn, and the glorious colors are upon us now. So, golly, the gifts abound, and living right here is a great place to be. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. As I promised, a Helitech expert coming in later this afternoon by phone. Also, we're going to talk about the ergonomics of a kitchen, as I described. Also, about shower benches, walk-in showers, and various things about, well, here we are with the, and I'll get into this, should I remodel my home or move? And that gets more Cliff Note version. It's all about you. It's about you, your family, where your kids are, where you worship, where your favorite grocery store is, those sorts of things. Where people are safe, where you feel safe. So we'll talk about that a little bit more, because that's really part of any comprehensive project. Mosby Building Arts, we've been around for a very long time. We do small projects to very large remodeling projects. We're what's called from the business world vertically integrated, so we actually have most of the trades on board. We have our own siding crews, our own painting crews, plumbers, electricians, carpenters, laborers for demolition, our own DOT or Department of Transportation certified drivers to haul the stuff around in safe form, keep all the kids and the pedestrians safe as we do that. So much going on around that, but the issue is we still have shortages like everybody else. We invest more and we have people to invest more in finding, chasing down some of those products. But you know, when they're bobbing around, floating around in a container ship off California coast in the Pacific Ocean, sometimes it's hard to get a hold of, as you all well know. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. We're going to take a short pause, be back for 2 hours here on University of KMOX. I'll be right back for more after this on University of KMOX.
This is the Helitech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair, celebrating 50 years.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
Yes, indeed, as promised, Brian Cox on deck at Helitech. Right now, we're going to go to our phone lines here as we catch up with our world and talk to my friend Rick. Hey, Rick, good morning. Welcome to KMOX. How can I help you this fine day?
Hey, Scott, love your program, by the way.
Thank you.
What I've got is my mom's house. I'm working on her floor in her kitchen, and she's got linoleum down right now. What I want to do is put some kind of a vinyl plank over it, something that'll go right over the top of the linoleum. I want to know what you might recommend, and should I glue it down or not?
a vinyl material, really going over a composite floor still requires an underlayment. Are you planning to put an underlayment down, Rick?
Well, what did you have in mind? What kind of underlayment did you have in mind?
Well, like a quarter inch, something like a Luon, anything that is rated as an underlayment. You need at least that quarter inch thickness, because here's what happens with vinyl, no matter how thick it is. Over time, it will settle into the grooves and the indentations in whatever the substrate is. So if you have, say, a quarter inch underlayment that is not joint seamed, where you have a filler at the joints and the nail holes, those will just slightly telegraph through. And if you put that luxury vinyl over the top of an existing floor of virtually any kind, it may stick and it may wear, but over a year's time, that vinyl will settle into those indentations. You'll see every groove, every pattern, and when the sun shines at that right angle, as you know, I'm sure you're aware over the years, it'll show just what's there. So it's not so much the performance, although most warranties are negated if you don't properly follow their instructions, and a vinyl will require some underlayment. And even if the instructions and the specs say don't, it's not necessary for an underlayment. Sometimes that's a selling proposition and not necessarily a performance thing. So in my world, and the pros will always put down some sort of a neutralizer of past sins, meaning all the pattern and your opportunity as well to find the dip in the floor where those floor joists have that belly in that one place, and you can float that out, put the underlayment over it, flatten out your floor a little bit. You can fix a whole lot of sins. You can nail the bejeebas out of the old floor, get rid of some of the squeaks, you know, and then you cover it over with that quarter inch and then your vinyl. So that's the ticket on that. Just beware. It takes preparation. And likewise, then if you're coming up that, say, 3/8 inch, quarter inch underlayment plus 16th or 8th of vinyl floor, you know, is that the height you want? Now, do you have to go back down and remove that one layer of that floor? You know, and then you get into potential asbestos and all that other stuff. So, you know, just beware that. Yeah.
Okay, if I put down the Luon, what do I put it down with? Do I just nail it down?
Just back to your original question, or in my father's words, glued, screwed, and tattooed. I would go ahead and I'd scratch that floor up a little bit. I would glue it, and I would nail it or staple it. Underlayment gets on the edges is maximum 4 inch on center, and in the field is about 6 inches. So you have a gazillion nails going down through this thing just to put the underlayment down. But again, don't miss the opportunity to re-nail those squeaky portions or replace them as needed. And make sure, again, make sure you're building the height, especially for your mother, to a safe, and, you know, this floor could last 20, 30 years, and mobility issues, shuffling feet, all of that is coming into all of our lives one day. So think about that.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate your help.
You bet, Rick. Go get them, brother.
All right.
Home Improvement, Scott Mosby, KMOX. Again, so many things on a simple thing like changing a floor. It's the opportunity to fix just a boatload of problems, because you have license to really get at that floor and nail it, fix it, get rid of the squeaks. Then the next choice is, as you raise the floor, think about your appliances. For example, you've got a refrigerator that isn't really a built-in refrigerator, but the height on the refrigerator might be 74 inches, and the height to the cabinet above it might be 74 and a quarter. Lo and behold, you add another quarter inch underlayment, a little bit of floor. Now your refrigerator doesn't fit anymore. Oh, by the way, as you do the same, that dishwasher that's built in from the top of the finished floor up to the underside of the countertop, it may not fit either. So think about those things, trash compactors, dishwashers, ice makers, any of those under-counter refrigerators you might have. They need to be, thought out in terms of what the space is for you to go for the finish floor up to that underlay or up to the underside of the countertop. So think about that and then dial back into the mobility issues, accessibility over the years as we age, and especially, you know, for Rick's mom, you know, which puts her in that, you know, at my age anyway, or close to. Now you have to start thinking about what will the life and mobility be like in the coming 30 years, because you buy a luxury vinyl floor, those things last a long time. 314-436-7900, 436-7900, 800-925-1120, 800-925-1120. We also have coming up here in the next month here, some seminars coming up, Accessible Living, Living Life to the Fullest. That's coming up here in October 27th. It's in about 3-4 weeks. It is a webinar, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that. And that'll be put on by my home company, Mosby Building Arts, so I'll tell you a little bit more about that. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Rain in the forecast tomorrow, next week as well. Right now with me, I have Brian Cox of Helitech. Hey, Brian, good morning. Welcome, and thanks for coming aboard today.
Hey, good morning, Scott. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I know you've got a busy day, busy life, busy week. Thanks for taking time out with the rain coming next week and really tomorrow. What can you tell us here? How's life at Helitech, and how are the foundations around the CAMOEX listening area faring?
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, I'm actually in my mobile office right now helping folks today. Yeah, so, you know, things are busy, but never too busy for us to come help folks. We do everything we can from an efficiency standpoint to at least get out and assess problems and see where we're at and come up with some sort of plan for homeowners, whether that be, you know, maintenance on their part or things that we certainly specialize in and can help with. And right now, it's a variety of things, Scott. I mean, obviously with this rain coming, we're going to get a lot of calls from leaking foundations, wall cracks, things like that, but also concrete leveling and some foundation issues, foundation repair issues. We're seeing a lot of that currently.
Tell me, you've got, I'm aware that your research and development, you guys are always looking for a better way to do something around there. I understand you've got something related to the foundation walls. Tell me more about what's unfolding.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking about that. So for many years, Helitech's been fixing foundation walls, and specifically what you're referring to is what we call a bowing wall or shearing or tipping, leaning walls. This clay soil that pushes against these foundations in our area is notorious for breaking the foundations and causing them to move inward, and that's a serious structural issue that we've always addressed. We have a variety of ways of doing that, and recently our research and development engineering department have developed, in my opinion, and many people's opinion, the best wall bracing system that's in the market. We've been developing it for quite some time, and we released it this year. We call it the HeliBrace system, Scott, and basically what you've got is a 6-inch I-beam solution, but it takes a lot of engineering and a lot of thought to do it correctly. But it's attached at the basement floor, and we have a special way of attaching it to the joist system so that you don't have issues with the framing, but you also stop that lateral movement in the foundation. It takes a lot of careful engineering and thought to do it the right way, and at Helitech we do. So we're able to come out and analyze those issues and come up with the right solution. If that's a good solution for you, it's a wonderful product for homeowners.
Brian, do you ever use a combination of the two? I mean, you really get into some really comprehensive repairs, some of which I've been involved with you at Mosby Building Arts. Do you ever tie together a HeliBrace with one of your helical peers as well?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that. So sometimes, you know, and that's why it takes careful thought and design is very important, because there are many things like obstructions outside, or certainly if your home, like in the city, we'll see a lot of homes where they're very closely located to their neighbors, and there's not enough soil outside to drive out a traditional wall anchor, helical anchor. We do do a combination. So sometimes on the side wall, for instance, where there's not a lot of room between properties, we may use a bracing solution. And then in the back wall, for instance, if there's also a problem there, we can use a helical solution. So very customized. We customize for every home. There's no cookie cutter approach with what we do there.
Hey, tell me about this. So we've got rain coming. What is the role of the homeowner? What do you suggest a homeowner do on a regular basis? I advocate, you know, take a walkabout, check out your house, make sure things are in good stead. What can you counsel a CamWex listener? What do they look for when they're walking around the house and looking at their foundation?
Yeah, so a couple of things to think about. One would be downspouts. We talk about that a lot, but where your gutter downspouts exit out is very important. And oftentimes, that's one of the first things that I look at when I'm out inspecting a home, and that's how we train our guys to really look at those exterior things, because, you know, that's the source of what's going on. You know, where the water's coming from is obviously on the outside. So where the downspouts dumps, got it, you know, you want to get it away from the foundation, certainly out of that backfill soil zone, which, you know, we always talk about the home has a what we call a false water table, where the original dig out when they built the foundation, that soil is never really as dense as the original virgin soil, so it kind of holds water around your house. You definitely want to look at those downspouts and make sure they're beyond that zone and on a positive grade away from the house. And some homes, that takes a lot of careful thought, because the grade is not the best and their neighbors may be higher than them in terms of elevation. They could get water coming from those areas. So you want to look at that, get them routed properly. Another thing that a lot of homeowners may not realize is those downspouts, if they're dumping next to concrete slabs like sidewalks, patios, or driveway slabs, that also can undermine those areas and cause them to sink. We do a lot of leveling on those. It's great that we have a solution for that, but in those cases, we are going to recommend that the drainage is addressed, because it can continue to wash out. So look for that. Make sure, obviously, your gutters are cleaned out, because if they're overflowing, again, you're pounding that area with water. And then again, bringing the level of soil up and then sloping it away from the house. But be careful not to bring the soil up above the level of the sill plate, because you can cause some serious issues there with, you know, termite damage, moisture issues on the lumber and things like that. So just some careful thought on how the grade is will help as well.
Well, Brian, I know you're busy. Can you hang around a little bit and stay on deck for me and see if we have any questions about foundations? You willing to stick around for a bit?
Absolutely.
All right. There we go. Brian Cox, Helitech, on deck, ready for your questions right here on KMOX, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. We're going to take questions on all topics, but we just have a pocket expert with us on the KMOX Home Improvement Show. So stay tuned. More coming up here, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Brian Cox of Helitech, Scott Mosby of KMOX. We are here at your service on KMOX.
This is the Helitech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair. Celebrating 50 years.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
All right, go Cardinals. Cards and Cubs. Oh, yeah, baby. Paca. Yeah, there we go. Who are those Cubs? Cubbies? Oh, never mind. Not really important. Let's get to my friend here, Scott. He's been waiting since the top of the hour. Scott, good morning. Welcome to CamWex, my friend. How can I help you here?
Scott, this is Scott with two T's.
Right on.
I've got a question for you, buddy. I built my house about, in 91, I guess, when I moved in. Anyway, the great thing back then was color locked masonite siding.
Yep.
And mine is getting very bad, so I'm going to tear it off and put it on vinyl.
Okay.
But my question is, I got tieback underneath there. Should I do anything with that tieback before I put new siding on, or am I just go right over that tieback?
Oh, you can go right over that tieback. You just have to be careful that, you know, any rips or tears, you make sure you tape them with kind of a Tyvek-approved tape, that sort of thing. One thing I will say is back in the 90s, Scott, it was routine for the Tyvek to be installed at the tops of windows and the tops of doors incorrectly. When I used to frame houses and build houses in my early days, we'd frame the wall, we'd take the Tyvek on the wall, we'd fold all four sides inside the window openings, we'd slap the window over, and that made the nailing flanges proud or outside scoops of any water that would travel on the surface of that Tyvek or house wrap. The proper way was to pull that tab out and make sure the top flap at the top of the window, top of the door, top of the bay, whatever it was, laps over the top of the nailing flange. There, now we flash the whole inside of the window before we put it in, do all this. That is called reverse flashing. Make sure that you don't have any reverse flashing, or maybe rework the tops of those nailing flanges and that Tyvek, those two. Other than that, kudos for taking the old mush wood color lock siding off. It was, I put a lot of that stuff up. I thought that was the greatest thing since sliced bread. But, you know, you did pretty well. If you're 30 years on color lock siding, you did pretty well, sir. So,
about 12 years ago, 15 years ago, I guess it was, I gave it a good coat of paint.
Yeah.
So I got a little bit more life out of it. But both times when the lawsuits come through, I was at the bottom of the list.
Yeah. Yeah, I still like the concept of the stuff, but just the material in the inside was more subject to the water. But anyway, we're on to bigger and better things now with later technology. So
yeah, because when I had the guy frame my house for me, mm-hmm. I did the rest of it myself, but he did my framing. He just wrapped the Tyvek through the windows. They put up a section of wall and they wrapped it on that. You know, wrapped it around before they put the section up, and I figured I was gonna just go ahead and tape all my tops, all my windows, and all my my joints, and just to seal them up.
Good. Yeah, just check your work. You know, inspect what you expect. Just make sure your work is still in good stead, and check the tops of those windows and doors. That's, you know, when we do a lot of that repair work. I can't tell you. And personally, I did that stuff wrong before properly trained some years later after that. So I can't say that, you know, I mean, you know, he lives in a glass house. Don't throw stone. Well, you know, this is about training. It's kind of how my life has evolved. I've become the trainer to make sure the current technologies get trained to our Mosby folks, so they get a swinging chance at doing it right. So when they're all done, spike the football, they feel good about it, and it lasts for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. So
yep,
I'm with you, brother.
For sure. Now, let me ask another question. Should I put styrofoam board on there also, or just go right on the plywood?
Plywood only. If you do styrofoam, I would urge that you pull that Tyvek off, and you've got to really research that. It gets a bigger deal. I love outside insulation. I love foaming it. I probably would if it were me. But if you have a more moisture permeable thing, if you do a styrofoam, then you've got to fur out all the trims around your windows and doors so your brick mold stands proud over that. I would consider it, but that means pulling your Tyvek off, putting your foam on. I love the out wrap of the whole thing. Then you have to consider, and then I'd really have to see, you know, what kind of vapor barrier or retarder you have on the inside of your walls. Is that plastic? Is that, craft face?
Craft insulation.
Good.
And then I throw a Visqueen on the inside, ceilings and walls. And it's all on 2x6 studding.
Okay. Yeah. Well. Yeah. With the 2x6s, you're into diminishing returns of that foam because you've got good insulation. What you're going to do with that foam is cover over all those studs, which are transfers of, you know, moisture, thermal carriers, if you will. So.
Well, that's what I was kind of thinking, but I wanted to get an expert's opinion on it before I got into it real hard and deep.
I'm 50-50 because, you know, the value you're going to increase. To redo your Tyvek, to invest in the foam, to start messing with some of that moisture control. I like your wall will breathe very nicely now with just Tyvek. You start putting foam on, now you're 50-50 whether you can put a house wrap on the outside because you start trapping moisture inside that wall. Bad mojo happens, indoor air quality, rot, you know, frame problems. So I'd probably, if it were mine, I would look into the foam, and I'll bet you a nickel that I would probably just not put the foam on the outside because of the 2x6 stud cavities.
Well, that sounds good. That sounds good to me. Yeah, because it's R30. I think it was R38. Does that sound right?
R31. On your ceilings, you'd have R38. Your walls would be R19.
Yeah. Well, I got a little bit more. I got 6-inch insulation in the walls. But, yeah, 38 in the ceilings, and I blew in cellulose on top of that of about 12 inches.
Nice,
so I'm tight on ceilings.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you're on board there, Scott, with two T's.
Okay,
from
sorry.
Scott with two T's. Hey, all brother. Right. You bet.
Okay, thanks, sir. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Take care. Brian, are you still there? Mr. Cox, Helitech, standing by in the wings?
Yes, I am.
Hey, I want to tell you a little funny here because on the screen here it says Brain, B-R-A-I-N.
Oh, yeah.
You're on,
yep.
Brother. You better bring it today.
That.
Yeah, you better bring it.
The Brain.
Brian, some of the things around the Polyjack concrete leveling, I want to know just a little bit about that, too. Because I've seen all this where people just don't clean their gutters, water pours over the gutters, they don't pipe their downspouts away. You know, I've got concrete there, it all rolls away, but it undermines concrete, now slopes toward the house. And tell me about how, you know, you use that Polyjack versus the old Mudjack systems.
Yeah, so we did. And it's a good process, but several years back, this polyjacking was really kind of unleashed on the market, and we, after a lot of careful thought, we had all the trucks and many years of experience, and so it wasn't an easy decision to transition into it. But when you look at all the advantages of poly leveling process, I mean, it was just a no-brainer eventually to switch over. And we've been doing it for many years with a lot of success. And some of the advantages, Scott, that you'll see is it's a much smaller entry hole to get the material into the concrete. So rather than like an inch and a half cord hole, several of them that you would use with mudjacking, we're able to use, it's literally a drill bit. So you're looking at a dime-sized hole, so like a 5/8-inch bit. So you're drilling these much smaller holes, and we're not having to drag a bunch of equipment around. So right off of our specially equipped truck, we have a 200-foot-long hose with a two-part, so two tubes inside of it. So it's a two-part polyurethane foam, which is a closed-cell polyurethane foam, so water-resistant material. And it enters under the slab as a resin, fills every little nook and cranny. And then as that chemical reaction happens, you get this expansion that fills that void. And then once the void is filled, we keep working that process, adding more foam, and then getting that to level. So we're able to raise it up. And one of the amazing things, Scott, about this product, it will set up in 15 to 20 minutes, cures in 15 to 20 minutes. So if I'm doing your driveway, you literally, by the time our gentleman leaves your house, you're able to pull a car onto it, which is pretty, wow. Pretty incredible.
Wow. Wow. I've seen that done. There's art, there's craft. There's some craft in the setup of all of that, but when knowing how much to put in and where to move to inject the next, that gets into the art of concrete leveling. I've seen your crew's work. It's really kind of cool. It's worth the ticket price, I think.
It really is. Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the greatest feedbacks I get from people, I mean, they just love to watch it. Of all the things that we do, they love to watch the process. They're amazed by it. And a lot of times we've had, my foreman, he'll tell me, you know, gosh, I have people say, you know what, come look at my patio in the back. Because I think, they just love the process. And, you know, just knowing that you can secure these slabs of your house without having to go through the expense of replacing. I will tell you, Scott, sometimes replacement is the answer. And that's why when I'm out there, I'm doing a careful inspection. And an example of that would be if the concrete's very thin, a lot of spalling, a lot of spider cracks, I call it, you're probably not going to get a great result in those situations. But it's worth having us look at it because we can advise you on the best way to go about it. And we're going to be honest with you and say, hey, you know what, you might want to replace that. But when applicable, it's just a wonderful process.
Yeah, some concrete just too ugly, not worth saving, you know, and just have
correct.
To replace it. Hey, yeah. Will you stick around for a bit? I've got Cindy on the line here. I've got to take a short pause right now, but I want to make sure that looks like something you may be able to help Miss Cindy with here. Stand by.
Sure will.
Right on. Brian Cox of Gila Tech. We're going to take a short pause, come right back for more. University of KMOX, Brian Cox, Scott Mosby, and Cindy on deck right here on KMOX.
This is the Gila Tech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair. Celebrating 50 years.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
All right, on deck in the wings, Brian Cox of Gila Tech, shown right here on my computer screen as Brain. So we've got a smart guy, excellent, must be genius-like, certainly from Gila Tech. But we're going to talk to my friend Cindy. Hey, Cindy, Scott Mosby, Brian Cox here. How can we help you this fine morning on KMOX?
Yes, I have a problem with water coming in through my window. Mm-hmm. I don't have much of an overhang there, and I'm not sure if it's the gutter, the siding, or the window. I've had somebody out, and they've caulked the window, and it stopped, but the water will just run down the window. On the other side of the room, it does not do that. So I don't know if my gutter is too small or if water's getting behind the siding to get into the window, and I really don't know who to call, if I call a window, a siding, or a gutter guy.
Cindy, were you listening when I talked to Scott about the color lock siding in the previous call?
Yeah.
About the Tyvek and the reverse flashing and how the Tyvek is tucked in all four sides on windows?
Yes. These are new windows that we had put in about 15 years ago.
About 15 years ago. Do you have any kind of a Tyvek or house wrap on your house? How old is the house?
The house is 36 years old.
Okay.
I think we did.
Okay. Probably so. One of the big issues and is reverse flashing, and it's how the Tyvek gets flashed and the windows get installed. And especially when window replacements happen, sometimes they negate some of the few things that, like some old caulk that might have been put on, 30-something years ago. Frankly, you've not had any luck calling the window company about the leaks?
No, I didn't bother calling them. We had the siding and the window done, like I said, 15 years ago. Wow. And this has been going. We've had problems for several years now. And I've had two people come out, and they caulked the window. The one guy said, you didn't have anything in your J channel, any caulking in your J channel, which right. I don't know if he knew what he was talking about or not. But
well, it's a possibility. If they put joints over the top of your windows and you have a butt-to-butt joint, it's like a gutter that fills up with water, and then it just dumps down between where the two pieces come together. So that's a reasonable thought. I suspect the water is traveling behind your siding, probably on the Tyvek or the sheathing. It's very common. This is a lot of what I talked about with Scott earlier. We just didn't know what we were doing in terms of how to handle flashing and window installations. I would call your window company because they'll remember kind of how they did it. And, just see how they deal with it because, just make it clear. It's like, I'm not looking for a warranty. I'm just looking for it to stop. If you have any other problems, you can call my company. We know what this stuff is. You will not like what we have to say. What was likely done is when the windows were originally installed, they were caulked on the nailing flange. That would last 10, 15, 20 years. The caulk fails, starts to leak a little bit. Now you pull the windows out, get them replaced 15 years later, put in a better window. They aren't really pulling off the siding the proper way they should. If they're just pocket windows, they just put them back into the opening. You're not really addressing any of that water leak. So it's probably not something your window your replacement window guys did, but they just didn't go far enough. And that's where Mosby Building Arts got into window replacements, because most of the industry was stopping 5-10% short of a good job. They just weren't taking on that flashing issue because they just do windows, and they did fine windows, but they didn't really deal with the original reverse flashing problem with those old nailing flanges and such. You following kind of what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah. So do I call, I think the window guy, I'm not even sure if he's in business anymore. There's certain teed windows. I mean, they're not cheap windows, but we have the siding and the windows done at the same time. So I'm not sure if he knew exactly what he was doing either.
Yeah, you know? a lot of that industry is subcontracted, so the siding guys may not know what the window guys are doing, and then it's the perfect opportunity to get it right, but it just wasn't. You're welcome to call my company. It may be a while before we can come out and take a look, but it's probably reverse flashing, and you almost got it right, but the way to do this is to peel back some of that siding above the windows and doors, but generally you can kind of see where the water's coming in, and we have a good sense of where it's coming from.
Yeah, it's kind of coming in down on the windows. You know, it runs right along the window, and like I said, the other window isn't doing it as bad, but it is doing it a little bit also.
Well, so, I guarantee almost all of your windows are doing it, just to different amounts. These two are the ones showing enough, so it's important there. Give us a call, Cindy. I think you're in. you need some help.
Okay, thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Hey, Brian Cox, sorry to leave you here. We've got about 10 seconds. What is the phone number and website for Helitech, please?
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Scott. You can reach us at 1-800-246-9721.
Or thanks, you can
reach
us
at
Helitech
Online.
All right, okay, bye.
Welcome to the Helitech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair. Celebrating 50 years.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
All right, back together, hour two, home improvement. This is the Helitech Home Improvement Show, and thank you to Brian Cox of Helitech for sticking with us most of hour one. I apologize, I ran out of time, and I get a little windy sometimes when I was discussing things like reverse flashing, why windows leak after they're being replaced, and windows and siding and such. It gets a little involved as to what and why. Long and the short of it is the flashing, the lap of the Tyvek or the nailing flange or pocket windows, replacement windows where you just pull out the sashes, you might pull out the existing window frame. Sometimes that doesn't really open up the siding around the window, especially at the top and the two sides, to allow the water to divert itself. And as the water comes down the Tyvek or the wall, the surface behind that cladding, which is vinyl siding, cement board, whatever it is, that moisture can scoop right in the top of the windows, and so you see a lot of the water at the window. Sometimes it doesn't show itself until halfway down, but my apologies to Cindy in hour one for all those things we talked about. Go Cardinals, Cards and the Cubs today here on KMOX. Stay tuned, lots of things happening. This coming Wednesday night is game one. I'm looking forward to that, digging out all my red, white, and Cardinal garb, and, I mean, you just have to sport the colors, you know. We're in St. Louis. It is what it is. Phone lines here on University of KMOX, 314-436-7900. Toll-free, 800-925-1120. 800-925-1120. Lots of things to talk about. Again, thank you to Brian Cox of Helitech sticking with us on hour one with rain, especially in the forecast. It's going to be a wet week. We've had a glorious summer and fall even, so the rain that we've had is making for some very colorful trees, all those things happening that make the Midwest glorious this time of year. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Scott Mosby here. We will talk about some things as far as accessibility, walk-in showers, do I stay in my home or remodel? I promised that in hour one. Here's an interesting thought that I heard actually this morning on KMOX. As inflation, if you believe inflation is going to increase, that means hard assets, copper, gold, real estate, buildings, houses, those are hard assets. If you believe that the shortage of materials worldwide, the pandemic, or just literally the reset of the difference between our baby boomer generation, which is mine, and the millennials behind. There are just fewer people to fill those spaces. And then, you know, Gen X, Gen Y, the demographic, there just aren't a whole lot of people to fill these jobs, any job. And we face it at Mosby Building Arts, my company, as well as the entire world. So the point being, your home winds up potentially a hedge against rising inflation. As rising inflation happens, you know, you may consider increasing your investment in your home. You know, whether you borrow money to do that or don't borrow, that's around your financial plan and your professional financial advisor. But the issue is that if we're printing more money and creating more dollars in any system, whether it's the Chinese economy, the U.S. economy, and it's happening all around the world. And I'm not saying that it is or it isn't. I will say that the cost to us at Mosby Building Arts are rising very rapidly in our corner of the world, and diminished as well by lowering supply. So it's the worst of both worlds. We have dropping supply and rising demand, which increases prices on us, to us, and therefore to our clients, you know, pretty substantially. But if you think that's going to continue over the next few years, I found it interesting that one of those hedges against inflation suggested was invest a little bit more in your home, you know, move to a bigger home, add on, remodel. I thought, well, golly, I hadn't really thought about that. So not advocating it one way or the other, but just the number of the price that we are paying for the same building materials we did some years ago continues to rise. And even though the price of lumber, and many of you call and ask me the price of lumber because it's my job to follow this stuff and stay on top of what is the future probability and current price of lumber, copper wire, copper pipes, you know, various building materials. Well, I will tell you that lumber was down for a little bit, down to only twice as much as it was before, back up now to a little bit more than twice as much. So lumber has increased its demand because every time COVID comes around and people get the sense of, well, I'm going to, you know, recover in my home or stay in my home, cocooning, as you will, the price of building material goes up. But it was very interesting. So I'll bore you no more with this. But the point being, should I stay or should I go? I'll get into that as we get through the hour, because much of it is about you personally. For example, if you recall moving into the house, whatever house you're in, it probably was about as much house as you could afford at the time. So you're tapped out. You're kind of at the top of your purchasing range. Well, life moves on. You know, earnings increase. The house increases in value. You have the ability to borrow against it. So your choices in the housing market are more. So do I put in that new kitchen? Do I put that deck and pool, the outdoor living space, the covered gazebo, whatever it is? Do I put that on? Well, the choice of whether you stay in the go is, even though you might move to a bigger home that might take that investment a little bit better, you wind up upping your dollars put into a home, and you wind, you know, if you want to live in that level home, that's a great choice. If you want to just kind of, you know, increase your comfort where you are, it tends to be a pretty important thing to stay where you are. Or if you're on a piece of property or a view or next to grandma or living by your kids or by your worship house, whatever your denomination, whatever is your life and norm, if you like it that way, that's the place to invest. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Let's get started with my friend Bob here on the line here on KMOX. Good afternoon, Bob. Thanks for getting us started. How can I help you?
Well, hey, thanks. I've got an in-ground pool. It's 25 years old, And they just removed all the top coating off the decking of the pool. Mm-hmm. And about 20% of the pool decking is, I wouldn't say percolating, but there's moisture coming up. And yeah, they don't want to put the finished coat on until that dries out. So my question, I guess, I don't know, is where do I find the source of this moisture? It's not the pool itself, because
yeah,
I have no evaporation at all. So everything's tight.
I painfully know what you're asking. Very painfully. The issue, what is number one, let's assume the pool is not leaking. So, because that's the quickest, easiest thing, but you would know that by how much water's in it and such.
Right. It's not leaking.
Yeah. That's the easy answer. The tough answer is if it's not leaking, then you've got moisture that is just living or sitting underneath that concrete slab on the deck of the deck of the pool. And that is very difficult to drain. Basically, the logic of this, Bob, is to make the water a better offer, which means put a drain deeper than the bottom of where that water is. So you might put a trench drain around the outside of that pool deck with underground perforated piping and gravel, kind of a drain tile sort of thing, or French drain, to try and draw the water from underneath that concrete slab, gather it into that pipe, and off gravity-wise would be the choice.
We already have that.
You know, well, is it working? Or is it broken? Because the other thing that gets in after 25 years, if you've got a break in that pipe, the drain, you've got a high concentration of water. If it's not working just as you think, you could be dumping water, and that can be the source.
Okay, so I guess my question is, how do I figure out, who can figure out how to find the source? I mean, it's a 10.5-foot deep pool.
Yeah.
What do I do? I don't know.
Water drainage, you have to find somebody that's primarily a concrete contractor. The problem is these guys are so doggone busy that to get them out to help you figure this out. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
A good concrete guy. Actually, I'm surprised your pool company. I would go back to your pool company and say, what are the probabilities here? Because I know they're so busy as well, but they generally deal with this. They would have a sense of what needs to be done. At least, I'd pay them a consulting fee to come out and give the opinion. I think you're going to need some studying to figure that out, because it could be, you know, 5 or 10 things, or 2 or 3 of those.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you taking my call. And that's pretty much where I'm at. Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry. And with as wet as the soil is now, Bob, it's probably not going to dry out this season. With the rain coming now and as cool as it's getting and all that, good luck getting it dry enough to put the coating on.
Well, okay. It's all done. It's ready to put the coating on. Can I wait till next year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're about to winterize the pool anyway, so I think it's a perfect opportunity. You just have an ugly pool all winter, but you get a better chance. The problem is you're going to wait until June or July when you get out of the rainy season of April, May, June. You need to get out of those rainy months, just like we're at the fall rainy months here, too. So it may be a while before you get that coating on.
All right. Hey, I appreciate your show. I listen every Saturday. Thank you.
Okay, Bob. Thanks. Sorry I couldn't be more specific, help, but you're on top of this, I think.
I hope so. Bye-bye.
Okay, take care. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby, KMOX, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. If you think the building lumber costs are crazy, try putting in a swimming pool. 1.5 to 2 years, they'll come talk to you then. It's incredible. Mosby, right here on KMOX. I'll be right back for more after this.
This is the Helitech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair. Celebrating 50 years.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
All right, Scott Mosby back together. Home Improvement. Phone lines are open. 314-436-7900. 800-925-1120. Bring it on here. I'm in the studio today. We've got one more hour. Go Cardinals. And I want to follow up a little bit in the break with Bob, who called our first question. Bob, I might send you to Helitech. Helitech has the HydroWay waterproofing system they use on waterproofing. They also apply that on large baseball fields, sports fields, big venues, highway projects, and they are kind of an edge drain collecting system. I might guide you to Helitech. Give them a call. This drying out the moisture underneath your concrete slab is how do you drain the perimeter system to draw the water away. That's effectively the mission for basement waterproofing, how to keep the water from coming up around through a basement floor by collecting it at the perimeter where it kind of comes in and then control it somewhere by pumping it out. So, Bob, my recommendation to you would be give Helitech a call. I think they'd be the place to start, and because of some of the larger commercial and industrial projects they do with HydroWay. Kind of an interesting thing. Let's back to my phone buddy here, Tony. Let's see what's happening. Hey, Tony, good afternoon. Welcome to KMOX. How can I help, sir?
Hey, good afternoon. I stained a deck recently within the last week. It was nice 80-degree weather, so staining was a great time. Stained a deck. A little over 2 days later, I put down Thompson's water seal on it, and I have got a sticky mess that you wouldn't believe. I've tried to take it off with mineral spirits and did two things. They're trying to take it off with mineral spirits and ammonia, and I still got a sticky mess. Tell me what I should do with my sticky mess from Thompson's water seal.
Well, you stained the deck last week?
Yes, I did. And 2 days later, I used Thompson's water seal on it. I know the mistakes that I've had. Moisture in there, doing it towards the evening. Tried to use a 3/4-inch nap to try to – actually, I had my wife do that. She used a 3/4-inch nap, so putting it down heavy – I probably created a lot of my own problems. I'm not totally blaming Thompson's water seal, but I would never buy Thompson's water seal again.
Well, the issue is you put waterproofer over a waterproofer. So your stain actually seals the wood, especially as quickly as a week or a couple of days. So staining the wood closes the pores, especially with a waterborne stain. You tend to kind of fill those voids. So there's really nothing for the Thompson's water seal to soak into. I would have advised perhaps a Thompson's water seal with a pigmented applicator. Same thing on some of the dry lock foundation waterproofers. They advise a wet on wet application, which is two coats, but it's one going one way and another going the other way, because as soon as that first coat dries, you're not getting anything else to go through it. Either good or bad. So your issue is you basically put Thompson's water seal over a sheet of glass.
Okay.
There's nothing for it. So now you're into solvent removing that Thompson's water seal, and what you'll discover is it did soak in occasional places and not in others.
Absolutely.
You're in big league, brother. You may wind up stripping this whole thing down and starting all over because
I was wondering about that. If I bring a sander out, if that's what I need to do, get a.
Yeah. Well, you've got to get your Thompson's to kind of set up, because that might be, you know, that can be a 7 to 10 to 30, you know, this kind of, you know, with rain like now, this stuff is not curing at all. So it's going to remain kind of gooey and, you know, just not set up. So throwing a sandpaper on top of it, you're just going to load the sandpaper up with all of that goo, if you will. You follow what I mean?
Yeah,
you need to start all over.
Mineral spirits, just keep hammering away with that in a mop?
No. You are using a deck stripper. You're going back as if this deck was 3 years old, and you're stripping everything off of it, and it's going to be in sections. It's a deck stripper. You're going to clean it, probably power wash it when you're done, and this time of year you're likely going to wait and stain it and seal it next year. But get a product. When you do something like this, always, always, always go to the paint counter wherever you're buying it and say, this is what I want to do. This is what I want it to look like. What are my choices? Because basically they're enough chemists to say, oh, you know, you're mixing, you know, ducks
well,
and geese.
Well, usually they're inexperienced at any of the counters you go to anymore. So the advice you get, you're getting from somebody that you ask them, do you work in the paint counter? They say, yeah. I said, well, how much experience you got? A week.
Yeah,
you know, that's what you're getting at the paint counter is a week's worth of experience. And I'm like, okay.
possibly.
Yeah, find a different paint counter. That's my thing, because part of what you're buying, you're putting a ton, you put a lot of money for this stuff. And part of the money is the value added of the dealer that's selling it to you to keep you out of trouble. So, make sure they're getting paid for this paint. They're supposed to add value by, advising you or me correctly. So that's part of what we at Mosby do, is make sure we find the experts and then run them hard and put them away wet.
Yeah, I own my own power sprayer, and it's a good power sprayer, so that's probably what I'll do.
Yeah. Yeah, good place to start. Give it a pressure wash, and detergent would be my first thing. So I'd detergent first, start and work your way up to a real paint stripper or a deck stripper there. Good luck.
I really appreciate
your
more than a week's worth of advice, too, because, I've been listening to you for quite a while, so it's nice to have somebody that has over a week's worth in.
Well, Tony, I'll tell you what, I've made every mistake at least twice, so, I can share those disasters with you.
Yeah, that's what mine is. I made one here. Go with that sealer. That's an inexpensive sealer, and never again.
Yeah. Well, good luck, brother. I think you're on top of it now.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
All right. Take care, Tony. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby, KMOX. I have indeed. Think of me as your research and development team, or pre-disaster team. I've made all these mistakes, I've recovered from them, and I've learned how to avoid them. So that's really the value and why I sit this seat on KMOX, why Rich Orris steps in for me. He knows some stuff. Rich Orris has had almost every job at Mosby Building Arts, he knows and has and will and can build anything from the bottom up. At least anything residential. So anyway, it's kind of a fun thing. I love working with smart people. I love working with curious people. And frankly, if you're a curious person, you're looking for a great career in any of the building trades, and this is the deal. It's a career. If you want a job, any place will do. If you want a place to spend your career, come to Mosby Building Arts. We'd love to have you, and we love to train, we love to learn, and we love questions. So right there, just kind of like KMOX. Some of the things that questions are, should I stay or go? Do I stay in my home, remodel my home, or move? Address that a little bit. Also, walk-in showers. If you're going to remodel your home or move, either way, bring those accessible features in, because the buying community of homes will at one time or another need those mobilities. And if you're an athlete and you're around in second base and you twist your knee and you discover I need to live in a first floor bedroom or a bedroom with an adjacent bath, good luck with that in a two-story home. So again, keep in mind how those various accessible features can be built into your home while you're remodeling the others. So, if you're going to remodel a bath, I really advise a curbless, low curb or no curb, so the less of a change in incline as you step over. For example, stepping into a bathtub to take a shower, that's a 16-inch step over. Wet feet, holy smokes. Bathroom's number one place in the house where falls occur and injuries happen. That's the deal. So get rid of those step-overs, those curbs, those tubs. If you're going to do a shower, have no curb, low curb, or almost a zero entry, which means the floor just disappears right into the shower. We'll be back for more on KMOX, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Scott Mosby at your service here on KMOX.
This is the Helitech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair. Celebrating 50 years.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
All right. Follow up here right after the Helitech Home Improvement Show is Retire Ready Instant right after this on hour 1 to 2, and then 5:20 the Cards pregame show today right here on KMOX, 7 o'clock Cards versus the Cubbies right here. Stay tuned. Go Cardinals. Congratulations on grasping, captivating that wild card, and that game will be played Wednesday night. So stay tuned. More things happening right here on KMOX. Lots of things happening in Cardinal Nation, of which we are part of that right here on KMOX. Phone lines open for you. I have phone calls that just waiting for you. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120, 800-925-1120. If you've got that question you've been waiting on, bring it on. I had a question earlier in the hour from Scott with two T's. He was in the first hour, and he had color lock siding by Masonite siding. Color lock siding. And that was Masonite siding, the composite, or you might know it as presswood. Some of the building technologists call it wuzzwood. Wuzzwood at one time, it was wood. Now it's something else. They compact it back down after they use a bunch of, it gets all chewed up, and then they put it back together in this composite or Masonite material. And then they took a vinyl sheet and shrink wrapped it, kind of like cabinet doors are. You might be familiar with those, melamine shrink wrap cabinet doors. Well, the Masonite color lock siding was a really good surface on the outside of this material, the material to carry it. Well, you know, Scott had painted that properly about 12 years ago. He asked me, what can I do to properly prepare this to put on new siding? He was going to remove the Masonite. He had Tyvek on it. And again, later, we had another caller, Cindy, right after Scott, was asking, I had my windows replaced 15 years ago. Now they're leaking at the top and down the sides. And they're very much related, because one of the issues that faced our industry, you know, even 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and I would even hasten to say today, many of the windows are being installed incorrectly this way as well, as it relates to house wrap. Cindy had an issue of water coming through. Now, follow me through this. When windows get replaced, there are what's called the prime window. Basically, the frame, everything gets put in. And to do that, you peel back the siding on the top and the sides. It's much more comprehensive, more costly, takes more time. But the issue is you fix all the ills. You fix all the mistakes that were put in there for the last 30, 50 years of that house, because you're able to then control the opening and what the situation is, where the flashing is or not. Because typically homes were built without flashing those window and door openings. I know you get tired of hearing me say saying this stuff, but it is very important, because I would guess that probably half of you listening to me now, your windows and doors are leaking on some level. You just don't know, because it's getting absorbed by that wood framing or your brick house in some way, to the point that it's not really leaking enough to be noticeable. You'll find it over time with that. But the point is that the way house wrap was installed when I first put this stuff on, you know, back in the 70s, we just put that house wrap on and wrapped it into all four corners of the opening, and we'd staple it on. And when the windows came in, or when we installed the windows later, some, you know, framers actually set the windows on the door panels laying down in the flat, which I, you know, can be done, but you better be really, really good at that. It's harder to get it right that way, believe it or not. But those window tabs at the top, the nailing flange, or a flashing tab nowadays, needs to tuck up underneath the house wrap, just as shingles are lapped the next one over the top in shingle form, to where you're always covering where the water comes from. Anyway, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Next up on KMOX, we have Jeff. Jeff, good afternoon. Welcome to KMOX, my friend. How can I help? Hey, Jeff, you're on here. Yes, sir.
Hey, Scott, I've got a section of concrete driveway that has settled about 3 or 4 inches next to the garage. Okay. And also a section of sidewalk. And I know there are companies that do injection to raise those up. Mm-hmm. And so I talked to one guy. He's got, they drill like inch and a half diameter holes, injection mm-hmm. stuff. And then another company only does 3/8 inch diameter holes. And I'm wondering what technologies are out there, if there's a difference between them.
Jeff, you're kind of looking at the old way of doing things and the new way of doing things. The bellwether, the measurement is the size of those holes. The old mud jacking, where a cement and sand slurry was mixed up and pumped as grout, almost like a water or slurry material, that takes a bigger hole because you're pumping sand and particulate matter in it. So it's a bigger hole, and it's kind of the way things were done over the last 70 years. It's the same kind of process, but the materials are dramatically different. The smaller holes are kind of a chemical or poly jacking, and Helitech does a lot of that in poly. For years they did the mud jacking. They've gravitated to the poly jacking now, primarily because it's a better product, it lasts longer, and it has tinier holes, and they still can get those slabs moved up. If you've got 3 inches of settle, you've really got a good bit, and as long as the concrete is not cracked, if that slab is intact, you're a perfect person to benefit from that, because the advantage of using the old concrete is it's all the same color. So the point is, well, I don't want those holes through my concrete. Well, if you replace the concrete, that whole slab is going to be much more noticeable than the rest of the driveway. So the new small holes are more poly-leveling, kind of Tenaze technology, and the bigger, older holes follow the same process, but the material, the grout that they're pumping in, is takes time to, you know, it takes a long time to cure. Anyway, the small holes are preferable, and the poly jacking is the way to go.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate the help.
You bet, Jeff. You bet. Thanks for calling here on CamWex. Next up, let's see what's happening with my friend. Well, see if Ed's on. Hey, Ed, Scott Mosby, you ready to get on the line here, my friend? Hey, Ed, Scott Mosby, how can I help you here on CamWex?
Well, I'm sure you got this question a lot, but we own a home. It's paid off. We've been in it for about 15 years, and we're ready to kind of take the next step up anyway, and would certainly love to take advantage of these home prices. But, of course, the problem is, are we going to be spending all of our money and then some on building a new home because of the prices of lumber?
It's 601 that, boy, you're on top of this thing. You asked the twice the $64 question. As investing in buying an existing home or staying in the home you're in, you have invested in yesterday's lumber prices, where the price of lumber was $200 a thousand board feet. Now it's $800 a thousand board feet. So buying a new home, you will inherently get some of the new design features, taller ceilings, open floor plan, things like that. But you're going to pay a much higher rate for that pile of building materials and that stack of labor that was invested. So generally you can buy a house more affordably or stay in the one you're in pretty favorably, especially in today's environment, and limit, forgive me, the inflated cost of building materials that we're experiencing today to the size of the project you're adding, either room addition, whole house remodels. And that's why in the better neighborhoods where property values are strong, even the price of those homes is still a good investment, because you're only, putting in, even if you're doing the whole house, you're not buying the framing of the house. You're just changing the finishes. So staying where you are, an existing home, is a good deal financially. The issue being, and now I'm going to give you the downside, the bad side of this, some neighborhoods will not take an additional big investment because the top-end resale price of that house, even if you put $200,000 or $300,000, it just won't bring it back. Sometimes you have to do both, change the house by buying into a bigger neighborhood, which comes with bigger lots, bigger taxes, all the other things, but it also has a much higher top end, Ed. So you can, if you put $800,000 in, you get $800,000 out in the sale price, whereas in some neighborhoods you put $800,000 in a $400,000 neighborhood, it's still only worth $450 or $5. So
yes, and we've been in this house for 15 years, and over those 15 years we've basically remodeled the entire home. We really want to sell. We want to build our own house. We already have the additional property to build on. We've got a lot of acreage that we want to build a custom home on. But that's what we're struggling with is, you know, our house is paid off. We think we're one of the cheaper homes in our housing development. And I know that's always a good place to be. But we could make $600,000 or $700,000 in this sale. But to build the house we want, it's I don't know what it's going to cost, but probably over $1 million. So that's where we're struggling. We want to get out of this house. We want to take advantage of that prices. Is there any other way to do this other than to live in a camper for 6 months and wait for the lumber prices to go down? Or are the lumber prices ever going to go down?
First off, if number one, you have a place you're thinking of moving. So that it's all about you and your specific life. It may be the last home you build. That's
right.
A whole different set of rules. So if you're going to do the last one, from what I'm hearing here, what I'm hearing is build the new home, start the design now. Prices probably won't continue to escalate obscenely. So doing the design on the house is separate than when you build. I've seen some pretty creative, because of the demands of better homes in these neighborhoods, I've seen some really far off, pushed off occupancy dates. House sells in June. They turn over occupancy in February the following year. You know, so people who really want that house, that neighborhood, that price range, to buy it at today's price, whatever that may be, you may find yourself in that situation. You can also rent homes, but everything's at higher demand. You will be inconvenienced for the year. And selling your home, where I think we're pretty close to the top, you know, but 6 months from now, it's still going to be good.
Right. I know you don't have a crystal ball, but boy, I sure wish I knew when this is going to top out. And then, you know, how long is it going to be until the prices of building a new home comes back down?
Well, it's the price of moving. Again, if you're going to have to pack all your stuff up in this house, pack it up, put it into storage for a year, whatever, move into an apartment, whatever your thing is, and then pull it back out, move it again, set up in the new house, and go through the cost of the new house.
It could be a wash.
Yeah, that, you know, you will sell at the top, and you'll buy it a little bit more affordable, but your carrying cost of taking care of you and your possessions over the next year, and just the time of you managing it, you know, is half of a full-time job anyway. I mean, building a house, going through design, you've been through remodeling your home. There's a real time investment on an owner that cares to get it right.
So, right. Okay, well, sure, appreciate the information. That was helpful.
Ed, I think you're all over this thing, and it's really, what is it that you want? And be careful, because whatever you think you're going to spend on that new home, if it's your last one, no holds are barred. If the faucet's 800 or 400, you're going to buy the 800 one. So you are in a your hormones are not your friend. Let's put it that way.
Right.
All right, Ed. Good luck, my friend.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye now. Home Improvement. Scott Mosby, KMOX. We'll be back for more after this, talking about life cycles, lifestyles, economy, opportunities. But it really gets down to, how do you want to live your life? Where is that place? What is it around? And then go all in on wherever that thing is. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement, KMOX. We'll be right back.
This is the Helitech Waterproofing Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair. Celebrating 50 years.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
Okay, Scott Mosby here. Following up, we've got a seminar coming up, Accessible Design, Living Your Life to the Fullest, October 27th. Sign up by logging on or call mosby.com. You can either give our office a call, 909-1800, that's 314-909-1800, or just callmosby.com. And it really goes through some of the things. We've got all kinds of designers. We can make it all happen for you. But it's an interesting progression of, what is the point of accessible design? What is accessible design? What is and isn't? All of this stuff will make sense, but it's not necessarily something that we see people bring to us. We generally suggest these features, oftentimes build these in. People don't really know that, you know, accessibility has been augmented and supplemented in our projects. That's a good one. So anyway, it is October 27th. That's a Wednesday, 11:30 to 12:30. It's a webinar. so you can log in from wherever you want that to be. We will discuss walk-in showers, ergonomic design for various things in kitchens. That also gets into accessibility. And again, just the ability to get things done, how to go about doing it, and how to appreciate the time. And it does take time to go through the design phase. I want to revisit Ed's message. We just got off the phone with Ed, had a really good, and I consider this a life stage question. Do I stay where I am? Do I build the dream home? We've got some acreage. And again, it's about the where. So wherever Ed wants to be, he had some property and he's got a vision and there's a dream. And, you know, if he closes his eyes and he dies before that dream happens and he has the ability to do it, that's where regrets set in. So part of my message and what I want to talk about now is if you're remodeling your home for the last time or you're building your last home, regardless of what you think you will spend, you will drive that cost beyond what you think it is, because typically custom homes start with a budget, and that is a budget with the vision of the builder or the architect. That may not match the homeowner's vision. So I just want to kind of put you together here, because it over that design stage, and the reason the design is so very important, it's literally getting everybody on one page, sharing the same set of expectations. Then you can put a price and an estimate on this that both parties understand and agree. Because if you don't spend the time with the design or truly understanding what that builder or architect is putting into your home, you don't really know what it's going to cost, because you're not sure what they put in it. If you think you're done with the design when they finish it, you're not done, because you've got to put your own imprint, your own wants and needs, and even down to the select the faucets, select the tub, select the paint, select the flooring and all. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement. Cards tonight, 6 o'clock, Cards versus Cubs. Next up, Retire Ready on KMOX.